Welcome to the St. Ninian's Community Church Lent Podcasts. Thank you for listening. It's Graham here. Well, today sadly brings us to the last of our podcasts for Lent 2021. And our Bible passage today takes us to the book of Acts, where we're going to read together from chapter 9 and the first 18 verses. This is what we read there. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men travelling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias! Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call in your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Well, this passage takes us beyond Jesus' death and crucifixion and resurrection, beyond his time on earth, as it were. Yesterday was Good Friday, and we remembered again Jesus' harrowing death and sacrifice on the cross. And tomorrow we celebrate Resurrection Day once again, of Jesus' victory over death itself. But just as Jesus rose again and eventually was to ascend into heaven, this passage reminds us that his encounters with people doesn't stop there, as Saul's experience clearly demonstrates. You know, over the past few weeks, as we've been looking at the different encounters Jesus had with people, we see he encountered a mass array of people. The blind, the oppressed, the deaf, those with withered hands, with dying children or sick servants, with dead brothers and sons. He met with women at wells and men lying by pools, hungry crowds, those excluded from mainstream society, either because of disease or because of bloods. We have seen him encounter rich rulers, embarrassed Pharisees, wise men from afar, local fishermen and tax collectors. The list went on, and it's been great over the past 6 weeks or so to take time to think of the many, many groups and people and individuals that had life-changing encounters with Jesus. All of them encountering him in a unique and special way, each with their own story to tell. And as we said, the story of Saul demonstrates that actually, even though Jesus isn't with us in person any longer, his encounters still continue. Saul, of course, had one of the most dramatic encounters. He was a Pharisee and he deplored any suggestion that Jesus was the Messiah, this criminal who'd been convicted by a court of law and executed in public disgrace outside Jerusalem. How could he possibly be the Messiah? And so, believing that he was serving God and honouring God, he sought to wipe out any trace of people who were claiming this blasphemous claim that this renegade criminal from Galilee was in any way the Son of God. Until, that is, one day on his way to Damascus, suddenly without any other human intervention, Jesus showed up in his life and challenged him about his treatment of his people who were now his body on earth. And from that moment, Saul realized the error of his ways and the glory of Jesus, and heard Jesus call upon his life to be an apostle to the Gentiles, even though it would cost him much and he would suffer many times. He gave his life to follow his risen Lord. Encounters are still happening. Encounters still go on. We may be 2,000 years the other side of that first Easter Sunday, but still many, many people are encountering Jesus in many different ways. And I guess most people who are listening to this podcast, people especially from the church, we're all people who in one way or another have encountered Jesus. Some of us perhaps in miraculous ways. Some of us have experienced miracles and Jesus doing amazing things. Others have just always been brought up in the faith. Others relied on somebody to come and to tell us the story. Others perhaps just had their own private encounter with Jesus in a church or reading their Bible or elsewhere too. When was your encounter with Jesus? And Saul, I guess, also reminds us that encounters with Jesus aren't just things that necessarily happen once in our life. Saul had this dramatic conversion experience on his way to Damascus. But later on, he tells in his letters and epistles of other encounters he has of Jesus, of other things that he feels that Jesus has been saying to him, about how Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, has been leading and directing his mission, how even on one occasion he was caught up into the heavens and had another life-changing vision of seeing Jesus in all of his glory. We should still be open and expectant and waiting for new encounters with Jesus. Not necessarily dramatic and sudden ones, but as people who endeavour to live in relationship with him, who walk with him, who have ears to try and hear what he has to say, then we should still be expecting that the risen Jesus will still come often and walk by our sides and speak new truth and new revelation into our lives. He'll still show up in our times of trouble and help us along our way. He'll still show up at times and do miracles and do the unexpected. But again, just like all the people that we've been thinking about from the pages of the New Testament, he meets each of us in unique ways, in intimate ways, in private ways, in personal ways that perhaps sometimes even only make sense to us. But isn't it amazing that as we've been considering over this Lent period, Jesus' different encounters with people while he walked on earth, that 2,000 years later, our names can still be added to the list of those encounters. As we think again about all the different people in the pages of the Gospels that Jesus met, even though sometimes we don't even know them by name, but just know their circumstances and experiences, 2,000 years later, that list is still growing and going on. And now our names are written on it. And our stories are part of what Jesus is doing. And our encounters are just still as significant. We are part of that ongoing story of Jesus bringing his kingdom from heaven to earth, of Jesus demonstrating his power and authority and kingship over each of our lives, of breaking in and bursting in and changing our direction, our purpose, our goals, our vision, our priorities. We are part of Jesus' ongoing story of encounter. And perhaps like Ananias, he will also use us to be part of other people's encounters. It's interesting that Saul didn't have anybody to tell him about Jesus. It was a very direct and personal experience. But still, Jesus brought in some of his other disciples, Ananias. Even though it was going to be costly and embarrassing and risky to him, Ananias had to go and knock on the door and do as he was told and pray for Saul to receive his sight and then baptize him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus still wants to include us in the way that he encounters other people. It may not be us who tell them the story of Jesus for the first time. It might not be us who even share our testimony, but he might still nevertheless call us to walk alongside other people in their faith journey, even for a short time, a short moment. We might never even fully recognize and realize the significance and the worth of our encounter and Jesus' encounter with them through us and through our actions and through our words. The moral of these Lent podcasts is that Jesus is one who longs to knock on the door of people's lives and to break in sometimes at unexpected moments and to demonstrate his love and his power and his grace. We have to be both open to Jesus coming and encountering us afresh, and being open to him leading us and directing us like he did Ananias to help other people in their own journey. But again, I guess another lesson we need to learn from all the different studies we've done over these past few weeks is that Jesus is the Jesus who comes to us in unexpected ways. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and we've seen that again and again throughout these encounter stories, very often failed to understand what Jesus was doing. No worse than that, they didn't just fail to understand, but they wrote it off because Jesus was doing things in ways that they didn't understand or accept or think was right or done in the proper method. And as a real warning for us, who are people who have had our own encounters with Jesus, that we don't seek to straitjacket him and determine what's a genuine encounter and what's not, and how we should encounter people and how we shouldn't. You know, most of Jesus' encounters that we've looked at, nearly all of them, in fact, very few of them happened in places of worship. Very few of them happened in church services or times of formal worship. Jesus met people in random places, desert places, workplaces, marketplaces. Sometimes they encountered people who were out looking for him, and other times he just showed up unexpectedly in their lives. He was totally unpredictable. And I guess what challenges me is that actually, even as I meet people and experience people, many, many people have had encounters of Jesus, sometimes not even quite realizing what it is, but doing so in ways that to me would perhaps be a little bit weird and unexpected. I guess what I'm saying is, folks, you know, sometimes we think people have to come to church, or they have to come and speak to another Christian at the very least, or they have to do things through prescribed ways to really have a genuine encounter. Where more and more I suspect that Jesus is still out in the workplaces, in the marketplaces, in the faraway places, in the streets, in the towns, in the villages, encountering people, showing his love and grace to people, encouraging people, speaking to people in ways that perhaps we don't fully recognize. That's been my own experience as a prison chaplain. Over the years of being a prison chaplain, I've had many people who have heard talk about things like Christians going into prison because that way we can take Jesus into the jails. And maybe I had a wee bit of that attitude myself when I first became a prison chaplain. Jesus, come on, we'll go in and we'll take prisons for you. Until you go into a prison and you hear men's stories and experiences and realize that Jesus is already there. And he's already encountered many people and shown himself real to many people. And it might look strange and unusual to me, but to them it is just as genuine in their own ways. I can even think of people like Jackie Pullinger, that young girl called to work in the drug dens of Hong Kong in the walled city, a godforsaken, lawless place, full of prostitution and addiction and squalor and poverty and things going on there that, as she describes in her own stories, are almost stomach-turning. And when Jackie arrived, she too realized she wasn't bringing Jesus into those dark places. Jesus was bringing her, for he was already there. And I hope that's a word of encouragement for us, because sometimes as Christians, everything's black and white, and we put everything into sort of categories, and we worry about our neighbours and our families and the people in our communities. And rightly so, we should be praying for them all. And we despair that they don't sign up for an Alpha course, or they won't come to church with us at Christmas and Easter. And we worry about all these things. They won't necessarily open up and have dialogue and discussion with us about things of faith. But folks, never forget, Jesus is still out there ahead of us. His desire to encounter them is still far greater than our desire for them to encounter Jesus. And Jesus is at work in people's lives. And Jesus is knocking gently at the door of people's lives. And Jesus is still busy out in the highways and the byways, making himself known to people, even if they can't quite articulate it in the way that we would hope and expect. So maybe Jesus needs to come and give us a fresh encounter this Easter time to see that he is still busy, that he doesn't wait for us, neither does he rely on us to go out and spread the good news, but he does call us and invite us to come and join him in the work he's already doing. But he's out there already. He's making himself known to people already. He's given small demonstrations of grace and mercy and love in their lives already. We just need to be ready, like Ananias, to sometimes come and help people understand what it is that they feel the Spirit is doing, and to direct them and show them how to move forward in their path of discipleship. Encounters with Jesus. Life-transforming encounters throughout the pages of the New Testament. You and I, in our own stories, are part of the growing endless list of lives that Jesus has touched and changed. But never forget, Jesus is still out there by his Spirit in a broken, lost, dark world, reaching people, seeking and saving the lost. Whether or not they ever come to darken the door of a church, whether or not they would ever even call themselves Christian, he's still going out and seeking to bring people into his fold, showing them how to walk the path of discipleship, making himself real to them, and helping them to worship. Do you hear his invitation to say, "Come on, come and join me in what I am doing"? May God give us eyes to see where the Spirit of Jesus is still at work, and to come alongside and to be obedient, humble servants, and to help people grow in grace and in their own faith journey and walk with the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as we celebrate Easter, we celebrate the fact that you're still alive. We celebrate the fact that you are ascended in heaven and have poured out your Spirit on people throughout the worlds, on your church and on your body especially. But we thank you, Lord Jesus, you're still the same Jesus who walked this earth in flesh and bone. The same Jesus who looks out and sees people and is moved with compassion. The same Jesus who sees the lostness of societies and weeps. The same Jesus who comes to lay down his life and to seek and to save those who are lost. You are still at work. You are still busy. You are still touching lives and encountering people as they encounter you, in all different places, even in places where Christians would never dare to tread. Forgive us for that, Father. Forgive us for thinking it all depends on us. Forgive us for thinking unless we are part of it, then it can't truly be happening. Forgive us when we think unless it happens in ways that we understand and find acceptable, then it can't be genuine and true. Forgive us when we are slow to move with your Spirit, or slow to speak, slow to serve, slow to love, slow to be your body to those round about us. Forgive us, and in a new encounter with your Spirit of grace and missionary zeal, fill us with a fire and give us eyes that see and discern where you are at work in people's lives round about us. And maybe, Lord, when we meet people, not to just instantly presume they're against you or not interested in you, not to instantly presume it depends on us speaking at them and telling them truth and telling them our story. Maybe it begins, Lord Jesus, with us getting alongside people and simply asking, have you ever had times in your life that you felt God was real and Jesus was present in your life? And let them begin with their story of where they felt a touch of grace and love. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you're alive and well and working on planet Earth. May your encounters with ourselves, your body, and other people increase and increase, that all may know and all may see that you are the Lord of glory, the Son of God, the King of kings, and the one who is coming to reign. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just finish by thanking you all for listening to these podcasts, whether you have heard few or many or all. We thank you for taking the time to listen. And may I give a especially massive big thanks to each and every person who, very often well out of their comfort zones, has come and delivered a podcast to us. I hope that you have been as blessed as I have been, as we have listened to many different voices, and as we have considered again the way that Jesus encounters us at our point of need. So until we meet again, have a good Easter, God bless, and goodbye for now. Thank you.